The Maker's House Chapel International presents Destiny Word with Dr. Michael Brady Damichek. As a child of God, you are mandated to take territory and fulfill your destiny. Destiny Word is designed to help illuminate your path towards a purpose-driven life. Please stay tuned for the unadulterated Word of God, a word that not only brings focus to your life, but also helps you navigate the challenges that comes your way.
I want to invite your attention and summon your senses to the book of Proverbs chapter number 23. The book of Proverbs chapter number 23. I want to summon your senses to the book of Proverbs chapter number 23. I'll be reading from the Thundering Diction of the King James Bible from the verse number 20. I'll do only two verses, the verses number 20 and 21. And I believe that it's going to be a blessing to you. He said, and I read, I believe that if you've opened your Bible there, you'll find these words. Be not among wine bibbers or wine bibbers, among rioters, eaters of flesh. Verse number 21. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that the grass will wither, the flower will fade, but your word will abide forever. We pray that in this time that you've given to us, Heavenly Father, give us a word that works. Anoint these lips of clay. Make it an instrument of a blessing to somebody. Put your word, oh God, in my mouth. Father God, somebody that is looking for a word will stumble on this word and be blessed. Speak to me. Speak through me. Speak for me. That the excellency of the power will be of you. That at the end of the day, you will be glorified and your church will be edified. In the name of the one who rules, reigns, and has regency, Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, we have prayed. Amen. Over the past couple of weeks, I have been coming your way trying to help us position some of the things that are called the cardinal sins. That of all the things that are around us, there are certain things that we should be mindful of. We should be thoughtful. We should have them. We should ponder on certain things that happen to be around our lives. We started some weeks ago, and I spoke to you about the cardinal sins that if we are to do an introspection and check around us, do a proper environmental scanning, we'll be able to tell us the certain things that are around our lives that we might call for divine help. St. Thomas Aquinas, men, great women of old, they all came up and they all lent their voices to some of these things we call the cardinal sins or the deadly sins. I started talking to you about the sin of pride. And I told you that when you weigh to them, Dante's work, you realize that the heaviest of the sins happened to be that of pride. For it was pride that led the eviction, that led to the eviction of Lucifer, now called the devil. It was pride that it was out of pride that he said, I'll set my throne where God is, and I'll be like him, and I. And anytime you find a man who speaks and his words are littered with I, it tells you that the man is walking on that high road of pride. And the Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God does not want us to walk in that level of arrogance and pride, and we walk as if there is nothing at stake. We live our lives without any form of accountability. We think that we came by ourselves, we will exit by ourselves. And there are people who pride themselves in what they have, and the degrees they have, and the schools they have attended, and the money they have, and the contacts they have. But what do you have that you did not receive? And Paul said, if you received what you have, then why therefore do you now boast in what you have? It is better for a man to walk in humility, for humility happens to be the very thing. The humility is the very essence, the very nature. Christ is the personification of humility. Humility is the very nature of Christ, and therefore you can say that you know Christ and yet you walk in arrogance. I spoke about pride, and I told you that pride, the original explanation that was given by the men of wisdom of old, they said that if a man is living in pride or walking in pride, the man is in that pride. They defined it as covetus in se. Covetus in se simply means caving in around oneself, and the person living or dwelling or staying within the cave, the confines of the person, thinking that he's the all in all, he's the all knowing, almighty, all powerful, and because of that, he doesn't need anybody else. But that There is a divine virtue. There is a life virtue that you are supposed to walk with. And one of them happens to be what I want to share with you. When it comes to pride, the life virtue to overcome pride is humility. Humility is from the word humilitas, from the word humus, which means the ground, the earth. That God is saying that if you want to walk with me, you need to go and live as close to the ground as possible. You need to go down. You need to go down. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That word is very heavy. That word is strong. That word is powerful. That word is potent. When we say that God resists, that means that God opposes. It means that God sees the proud as his enemy. Because pride always reminds God of the devil. Because it was the devil who exhibited pride. Show me a man that has been blessed by God, and I'll show you a man that walks in humility. Show me a true career. Somebody who carries the blessings of God, a true career of the divine blessing, and I will show you a man that is close to humus, a man that is close to the ground, a man that respects and loves and honors and upholds the integrity of our humanity. Show me a man that is blessed by God, and I'll show you a man that has humility already and all around him. I spoke about. If you look at that Dante's purgatory, you realize that you need to go down to overcome that of pride. We move from pride. I spoke to you about envy, and I told you that that is what is killing people in our times. Our friends don't want other friends to do well. There was somebody who said something, and I quote, he said, that when I see my friend do well, something in me dies. When I hear my friend has done well, something in me dies. There are people, envy is what will cause you to feel that the world has moved on and left you behind. It is only envy that will not allow you to celebrate the achievements of other people. It is only envy that will make somebody who says he's a friend or she's a friend to somebody that is watching, listening to me, the sound of my voice right now, and the person gets married and a friend is blubbing all over the place and not able to appreciate and thank God for the blessing that a neighbor has received. It is only pride. It is only envy that will cause somebody to walk in that realm. Now, pride is the mother of all sins, but envy, this said, envy is when you believe that you deserve something better than somebody else, and therefore if another person has something, you begin to question why the person has it, and therefore envy becomes an insult on the integrity, or an insult to the integrity of Christ or to God. You're saying to God, God, I thought you were smart enough. I thought you were smart. I thought you were big. I thought you were sovereign. I thought you were all that. Why is it that you've placed that on that man? Why is it that you've placed that on that woman? Envy will cause you to question why a neighbor is doing well. But truly, truth be told, if you are really a man, a woman who understands God, if your neighbor is doing well, you get excited. You get happy, because when God is blessing your neighbor, it means God is in the neighborhood. They said, and I quote, that the worst form of envy is what is called invidia clericalis. That is the envy amongst the clerics. That is no wonder that now it is pastors that rise against other pastors, and apostles are undermining apostles, and bishops are undermining bishops, and prophets are undermining prophets, and pastors undermining pastors, because that form of envy it's lived for a long time. I believe that God wants us to get out of that spirit of envy. And how do you overcome, according to Dante's purgatory, to overcome envy, you need to walk in celebration. You have to celebrate. You need to admire. You need to walk in celebration. You need to walk in admiration. When you see somebody do well, clap them on. When you see somebody excelling, tell them you are doing well. Instead of you bad-mouthing and undermining and going against people, instead of you rising against somebody that God himself is lifting, God himself is exalting, God himself has blessed. Maybe you have a friend and your friend just got a proposal, and your friend came to you and told you, my sweet sister, my sweet friend, a man just came to me and the man said he wants to marry me. You know, this guy that I met, it is today that he proposed. You don't go back into your bedroom and you don't begin to cry yourself to sleep. You walk in admiration. You thank God. God for your neighbor. You thank God for that friend of yours when they come to you and they tell you that God has blessed me with a new job and I'm going to be paid that amount. And that happens to be a problem that many people have. Maybe your friend told you, I've just been giving promotion, or I just had this new offer and this is a new amount that they are going to pay me with. And because he is a friend or because she is a friend, she could confide in you. She could tell you that very detail, the nuance of her contract, the nuance of her appointment, of his appointment. He made it possible and available unto you. And instead of you going back to your closet and thanking God for the victory that is given to a friend, you walked in and envy was killing you. Envy was tearing you apart. Envy was ripping your heart apart. Envy was disturbing, destroying. Envy caused you to lose your sleep. I just came to tell somebody this morning that you need to walk in great admiration. You need to walk in great celebration. That if God is blessing somebody, you need to be thankful for the life of the person, knowing that God, if you are the one that has blessed, and 6 o'clock will just hit the clocks twice a day. And so if his came in the morning, I am sure that mine will come in the evening. For weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. If my joy is not come yet, it would be no excuse for me to envy another person. If I'm not getting my breakthrough as of now, I don't think it is right for me to envy and to backbite and demise slander out of envy or jealousy. But I will walk in thanksgiving. I will walk knowing that although the fig tree will not blossom, I will walk knowing that if it is not my time yet, hey, the vision is meant for an appointed time. I will walk knowing that if my time comes, the vision shall speak and it shall not lie. I will walk in that revelation. I spoke about invidia clericalus. I spoke about invidia. I spoke about envy. And then I spoke to you. I think I spoke to you about anger. I spoke to you about anger. When a man is possessed with a need for revenge that defeats every form of reasoning, that anger has overtaken you, anger has taken a hold of your life, anger has gripped you, and because of that anger, you don't even want to think through things properly anymore. Anger will make you do the stupidest of things, the most dumbest of things. Anger. Do you know what anger has done to people? There are people who are serving jail time right now because of anger. They couldn't control themselves for 5 minutes. I told you, and it's good. I will reiterate it today. I have to say it before I continue, that of all the bonds that keep man in chains, man is able to free himself when self-control he gains. That was said by one philosopher. A German philosopher said, of all the bonds that keep man in chains, man is able to free himself when self-control he gains. Is just coming to my mind one more time, because without your self-control, you will allow anger to take the better part of you. And a man, there is a man that had killed a wife, there is a woman that had killed a husband, there is a father that killed a child, there is a mother that killed a child, there is somebody that had killed somebody else because of anger. 5 minutes of anger might lead you into eternal condemnation, that even when you go to prison, you can't forgive yourself. When they are sentencing you to death, you can't even forgive yourself. And I just came to tell somebody right now, listen to me, child of God, don't allow anger to obsess, to possess, to take hold of you. Instead of walking in anger, Dante Spaghetti says you walk in forgiveness. Instead of committing the sin of anger, I'm not talking about righteous indignation, I'm talking about real-time anger. And instead of you walking in anger, Dante said, you need to walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness is when you say, I want to carry your burden. Forgiveness is when you go the extra mile to make things work between you and somebody else. Forgiveness is when you're able to look at somebody in the eye and tell the person, you offended me, but I will take the higher road. Forgiveness is when a man decides to live a life that is godly or Christian. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, when they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. He said, when ye pray, pray that our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, that we forgive those who trespass against us. So it tells you that for you to be forgiven, you need to forgive. That a man that does not practice forgiveness does not qualify to be forgiven. And God sent me here this morning, this beautiful Sunday morning, to share with you this infallible word of God, that walk in forgiveness. Walk in forgiveness. I spoke about sloth. I spoke about sloth, laziness, that you need to get yourself up and start working. You need to get up. Don't itch for things you can't scratch. If you are itching for things, scratch it. You don't just, in your room, you have posters of the latest car. You have posters of a mansion. And you look at it and say, my dream house, my dream home, my dream car. Keep on dreaming. Others are living it. Whilst you are dreaming, you're dreaming it, others are driving it. Let me rewind and press play. Whilst you are dreaming it, others are driving it. And so don't be a dreamer, be a driver. Don't have it on your walls. That becomes a dream. Have it with you. Have it. Possess it. And how are you going to do that? Get up from your sleep and slumber. For a little sleep, a little slumber, it will lead you into poverty. Get up, oh thou lazy or sluggard. Go to the ant. Consider his ways or her ways and be wise. That is the word that was said by Solomon, the wisest man that had ever lived. And so sloth, laziness, can be overcome through the vehicles or the portals of hard work. Instead of you being lazy, instead of you being lackadaisical, instead of you being laid back, equity favors the brave, not the indolent. One of the maxims of equity, I hope you know that, that equity will favor the brave. The times of manna are over. Times that people were sitting in the heavens will open and God will rain on them manna from on high. Those times are over. Those times are coming back no more. Those times are not going to come back to you. The times of manna are over. In these times we are, manna doesn't fall. You create your own manna. You make your own manna possible. You make your own manna work. You make your own manna work. Praise the name of the Lord. The one who is worthy to be praised and adored. We spoke about sloth, and I spoke about avarice. Avarice, or extreme greed, when a man doesn't want any other person to have any other, but wants to accumulate, because they believe that it is in the accumulation of things that gives them value. But your value is not in how many things you have. Because value in itself is intrinsic. Value in itself is inborn, is innate. I want to share with you, child of God. Today I want to build on it. I think I've done 5 with you so far. Today I want to talk about the 6th cardinal sin. Gluttony. Gluttony. Overindulgence of food. My think is no sin, but it's my body. Oh, I love food. And there are people that anything they eat, they need to, anything they see, they need to nibble. Anything they see, they need to take a bite. Anything from sweets to hard stuff to whatever, they are just eating anything. They eat everything and anything and all things and nothing. Actually, they eat everything. I believe they can eat anything and even eat their own fingers if they are given the chance. They can eat anything. They eat anything. Overindulgence of food. It's a sin in the sight of God. Oh, but it's my body. Oh, anything, I easily get angry. I was talking to a son of mine some time ago, and that child of mine said, a son of mine said, he never gets full. He only gets tired eating. And I was wondering, how on earth can a man say he never gets full? He only gets tired. So when you see him stopping in the course of a meal, it doesn't mean he's full. He's just tired. He's tired doing the exercise of chewing. But for him, he never gets full. One of the sins that is quite crucial that I talk about is that of overindulgence. Please don't forget that your body is the temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 from the verse number 19, you'll read, and the Bible says that your body, the temple of God. If you destroy it, God will destroy you too. Your body, God needs your body to execute an assignment on earth. Most of the problems that we are having in our times, check globally, diseases are on the rise. Globally, death rates are rising. Why? Because we are eating our ways to our grave. Devils are not attacking us. Demons are not killing us. We are killing ourselves with what we eat, and you eat almost everything. You eat. You can eat at 12 midnight. You can eat at 10 p.m. You can eat at 2 a.m. You can eat at any time. And as soon as you eat, you hit your bed, and you are gone. You are dying. You are killing yourself. You are eating yourself to your grave. You are killing yourself, and demons have no hand in it. And you might think it is not a sin before God, but because it's your own body. Read the book of Ezekiel. Read the book of Proverbs. Read the New Testament, and they will all tell you that if you walk in that excessive overindulgence, when you eat too much, when you become a glutton, in the book of Proverbs, and let's read it again, because that happens to be my anchor scripture. Proverbs chapter number 23, from the verse number 20 and the verse number 21. Be not among wine bibbers or bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. There are people who can gather and do, okay, let me not go there. I don't want to get into trouble. But there are people who can get a whole animal. There are some tribes that when they have funerals, you know what happens. There are people who do some shows. They call it whatever shows they do. But there are people who eat almost everything, and they can gather. You get there, and I quite remember, let me share with you my personal story. I can't share somebody's story. I can tell you what is mine, what is it is idiosyncratically mine. It's a story that happens in my life when I was growing up, and I feel comfortable sharing with you. The last time I really had, apart from processed ones, but the last time I really had anything to do with that kind, I mean, I was there. I was young, pretty young, in my early teens. And in my area, they killed an animal, and they prepared soup with it, and they prepared fufu and all of that. I ate and ate and ate, and just eating and having meat and just enjoying the meat, the oil that was, I looked at it, and it looked so sumptuous. And just as is written in the book of Genesis chapter number 3, when they saw it, it was good for food. When I saw it, it was so good for food. And I decided, oh boy, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad. I sat with my legs wide open with the food centered in the middle thereof, and I decided to devour it with every strength that I had, not knowing I was killing myself. I fell sick for 2 weeks. I couldn't go to school. I was vomiting, not knowing I had overly indulged. Now listen to this. I almost killed myself, and that happens. There are young men, there are young women. You are able to meet friends, you meet, and you have a lot of meat, a lot of drinks, a lot of this, and you think you're having a nice time. Yes, at that material moment, I believe that is what you're going to say. You are having a nice time. But in the fullness of time, in the long run, you realize that you didn't have a nice time. You rather ate yourself to death. And most people are dying. They are killing themselves. They are sabotaging their destinies. They are undermining the integrity of the divine purpose over their lives. Why? Because they are eating themselves to the grave. What will kill you quicker is not a demonic meeting or a conspiracy in a satanic coven. What will kill you quicker is overly indulging in food, getting into that realm whereby you think you are eating. I'm eating, and I eat. Oh, I love food. And some people can even say, I love food. Oh, I love food. And you eat everything. You are dying. It's a sin before God. How do you overcome such a sin? How do you overcome the sin of overindulgence? How do you overcome the sin of gluttony? How do you overcome this sin? Well, self-control. Self-control. Galatians chapter 5 talks about it, but self-control. Self-control. Maybe it's even apt for me to get back to it and talk about what the great man, the great German philosopher said again. That of all the bonds that keep man in chains, man is able to free himself when self-control he gains. Rewind. Press play. I'm glad you asked. Of all the bonds that keep man in chains, man is able to free himself When self-control he gains. If you're able to get hold of yourself and know that your life is precious, you will not walk in that level. Read the book of Ezekiel. It talks about, maybe I don't have to go there because I don't want to be derogatory to anybody that is overweight. But you check the Bible and there is a king called Agog and all of them. And there are people that they had some encounters that were not right. Listen to me, child of God. God wants your body to be fit and healthy so that he can use you to fulfill a mandate or assignment. Stop eating yourself to your grave. Stop eating everything. Stop eating everything. Stop. I quite remember when I was young and I was growing, and because of the environment that I grew up, the rain, I mean, of course, where I grew up, it was purely communal living, and everybody, we were all living together. And when your father's meal is served, you look at it, and it has all the assorted meats and fishes, so everything on it. And you, the young one, you'll have something small. And if you ask, oh, that's for your dad. Okay. It was when I was growing up that I realized that not knowing my dad was killing himself. In fact, should have given it to me. Should have given it to the young ones because they will need the protein to grow. But at that age, you are fine. You are in your 40s. You are still eating like you are in your teens. You are in your 30s. Your metabolism. Everybody has, we all have different body types, all of us, different metabolism processes and rates, all of us. But you have to be mindful that God wants you not to overindulge. You need to walk in self-control. Know what you should eat, know when you should eat, and if possible, know when to say no to food, because it's very important. Just because food has been served doesn't mean you should eat it. You have to be able to tell yourself, oh, my belly, I think you are fine. You can sleep like this, and your belly will begin to roll and thunder, and you tell your belly, no matter how hard you cry, I'm not going to mind you. You have to walk in that high level of discipline. Have that kind of discipline. Take hold of your life and don't walk in that sin of gluttony. Don't walk in that sin of overindulgence. You've been eating all your life, and maybe sometimes too you need to check, because there are some families that everybody grows into a plus size. It is not bad to be a plus size if this in your bone structure, but if you can make sure you are not a plus size but you can live a healthy life, I'll encourage you to live healthy. And he said, I mean, I grew up in a place where people would take drugs like periactin. I don't know if it's still there, but when we were young, they were taking drugs like periactin, taking all the medications that will make somebody eat and sleep and put on weight. And especially when there is going to be a funeral, the ladies, they get drugs and they eat and they do all of that. And you begin to wonder why. It was when I grew up that I realized that they thought that it was in vogue, but not knowing that they were putting excessive stress and pressure on their liver and kidneys. Now listen to me, child of God. Don't kill yourself young. God has a purpose for you. Don't die too young because of food. You eat everything. Everything looks delicious. Everything. In fact, you want to eat everything, including what you see on TV. Now, there are people who, when they see food being displayed on TV, immediately they start having all kinds of ideas and dreams about how they can consume ferociously what is on TV. If they can even pluck it out of the TV and consume it with alacrity, they will do it. But it's a sin. And that sin can only be defeated with self-control. You meet people who hit the gym, train hard. As soon as they are done, they eat heavy. And the more you ask them, they tell you, oh, I'll burn it tomorrow. Oh, I'm eating, but tomorrow when I go to the gym, I'll burn it. You started talking about how you are going to burn it. Until now, nothing has been burnt. Actually, you are being burnt. It's killing you. God doesn't want you to walk in that. God wants you to walk in self-control. And I want to encourage you, child of God, to walk in self-control. Walk in that divine understanding that the Lord God wants to use your body and that you can't kill yourself prematurely. A sound mind lives in a healthy body. And what you eat, to a larger extent, determines how long you live. Because you can eat yourself to life, you can eat yourself to death. Choose ye this day which of them you want to go by. I believe the God of all flesh, the God who sees even into the hearts of men, will visit and help you to overcome this if you want to get out.
Thank you for listening to Destiny Word by Dr. Michael Gwedi Nyamiche. We believe you have been impacted to fulfill your purpose. For more transformative and uplifting teachings from Dr. Nyamiche, kindly join us at the Maker's House Chapel International Destiny Arena, adjacent the School of Nuclear and Allied Sciences. Join any of our services, Sunday Word from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., teaching service on Wednesdays from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., and our flagship program, Morning Aura, on Saturdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. to engage in prayer and experience the supernatural. You can also be part of our online services, Command Your Morning, every weekday from 4:45 a.m. to 6 a.m., and Power Up Your Week every Sunday from 11:30 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. on our social media platforms. For more information about our ministry, you can reach out to us on 020-004-7488 or 026-681-3275. Additionally, visit our website at www.themakershouse.org. God bless you abundantly as you journey towards your destiny with courage and faith. Destiny Word, be empowered to take territories and fulfill destinies.